You're listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast.
Hey, this week's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast is taken from a sermon that I preached on December 30th, 2007 at Grace Baptist Church on the south side of Des Moines.
Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we had the opportunity last week to celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to celebrate a new year. And for some of us looking at the last year, maybe sorrowful. For some of us, maybe we're excited and it's been a good year. But Lord, wherever we're at, I pray that you would just speak to us today. That you would show us what you desire us to know today from your word. That you'd help us to be more like Jesus. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, for you are rock and redeemer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, New Year's coming along. A lot of people, I personally don't do it so much, but a lot of people do New Year's resolutions, right? I found whenever I did New Year's resolutions, I was going to have a long list of things that weren't going to get accomplished. But a lot of those resolutions usually have to do with time. Some of them, time is one of our greatest commodities. You know, with time we all have equality, right? No one has more than 24 hours a day. If you do, let me know. I'd like to know your secret. We're all given the same amount. We all have 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. It's often one of the things that we complain the most about: time going too slow, too fast, not enough, too much. Have you ever gone a long car ride with kids? One thing I believe kids have universally in common is that they all hate long car rides. It's a colossal waste of time. It is something that they must endure rather than enjoy. It prevents them from having fun. Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? How much further? This is taking forever. We've only been in the car an hour. I never get tired of the line of questioning that one of my favorite responses is, never. Then I'm reminded of Scripture that fathers are not supposed to disparage their children. Adults can be this way, though, too. A certain employee was approached by a supervisor who asked if he had a good reason for being late. He replied, "Of course I have a good reason for being late. It makes the day seem shorter." And then there's this movie, Groundhog Day. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see that. It's an older movie. It's teamed with a producer played by Andy McDowell, who always seemed cheery, and a cameraman played by Chris Elliott. TV weatherman Phil Connors, played by Bill Murray, was sent to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to cover the annual Groundhog Day festivities. On their way back, they are caught in a snowstorm that Phil failed to predict, and they're sent back to Punxsutawney. It is then that Phil is caught in a time warp where he repeats Groundhog Day over and over and over again. He goes from living it up to severe depression, even trying to kill himself several times. He manages to correct his character flaws, win the love of his producer, all in the same day. For some, that would be horrible. For others, it would be a blessing. Time is something that we're all given by God to be stewards of. But what is the best use of your time? In Luke 10, Jesus had been discussing with Jewish religious leaders the two great commands of Scripture, that we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus has just used the story of the Good Samaritan to illustrate how we should love our neighbor. And now we see in a situation that he has with Martha and Mary an illustration of how we could best love God. And as we read this passage, look at it from the perspective of time as far as priorities are concerned. I believe this passage has a lot to say about the stewardship of time, even though it doesn't mention time directly. So if you'd open up with me to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Give you a second to get there for those of you who have Bibles. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman whose a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." You know, this passage, it takes place in the village of Bethany, which is just located outside of Jerusalem. And what we can glean from this passage, and in John chapters 11 and 12, that Martha lived with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. Here in the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Jesus and his disciples sit down for some relaxation away from the press of the crowds as they ministered throughout Israel. Both sisters were delighted to see Jesus, but you could see they expressed their enthusiasm in many different ways. In verse 38, Martha opens her home to him. She has a hospitable nature, which was very important in those days. That was a great part of their culture. In verse 39, it says, Mary sat down at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. You know, people have varying temperaments. Some are always doing, active, service-oriented people. Others are contemplative, thoughtful in their nature. Martha is an action-oriented person, and Mary appears to be a thoughtful one. You know, I believe that Mary and Martha have been wrongly contrasted, as though each Christian should make a choice either to be a worker like Martha or a worshiper like Mary. But in doing so, I think the point of this passage is missed. I think the Lord wants us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work and to achieve balance in both. You know, Mary's content to sit at Jesus' feet soaking up the word and not to do anything, but her big sister Martha is looking around at all the guests and sees the need to prepare a meal because they're hungry people. They've been walking a long time. Martha was obviously a great hostess. She got up and began to prepare food for Jesus and those there with him. Martha looked and said to herself, "What a privilege to prepare a meal for the Master." Mary, on the other hand, would have said, "What a privilege to sit at the feet of the Master." Is one right and the other wrong? Sometimes, again, we're told we're supposed to choose, and I don't think that's the case. Duty and devotion are both necessary, but there must be a balance. So we're going to take a look, closer look at Martha to see what the problem may really be. And so we see that Martha is distracted. Every action, every relationship, every institution has a basic focus, which is the reason for its existence if it hopes to succeed. If it loses that focus, it'll fail. When you lose your focus, which is why you do what you do, whether it's at home, whether it's your workplace, whether your ministry here at church, then you're in trouble. Martha started off with noble intentions and was making good use of her time. But her focus became skewed, and it changed her priorities. And we see in verse 40 that she was distracted by all the preparations. She was distracted by all the serving. The sense of the original Greek word that's translated distracted means to be pulled away or dragged away. The implication is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself. She wanted to be seated at his feet too. But she was pulled away by her sense of her duties. Fretting about the meal had robbed her of her joy of her service to Christ. The problem did not lie in the work that Martha was doing. It was in the attitude which she was doing it with. Martha's problem was one of balance between going and doing and sitting and listening. The difference between Martha and Mary is not that one served and the other did not, but one served out of duty and the other out of devotion. You may remember the cartoon The Jetsons. That was one of my favorite cartoons growing up. This cartoon conveyed the common misconception of the time that in the future, modern conveniences will produce more and more leisure time in people's lives. About a couple years ago, Cheryl brought home a Hanna-Barbera Classics video from Blockbuster, which had an episode of The Jetsons, where George Jetson complained that this three-hour workday was getting to be too much. Fact is, even with modern conveniences, many of us are overworked. We just simply work too many hours. Stephen Covey in First Things First says, People expect us to be busy, overworked. It has become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we are important. If we're not busy, we're embarrassed to admit it. See, how's things going, Shane? Oh, keeping busy. Like if I said I wasn't busy, they'd be wondering, what is he doing? He's not busy. You know, busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, Covey goes on to say, and pleasing. It's also a good excuse for not dealing with the first things in our lives. So sometimes busyness crowds out what's important, and we lose our focus. Our world is full of distractions, and the more pressure, the most tempting is to focus on the urgent rather than on the essentials. And I truly believe that Martha wanted to honor Jesus in her work. I believe that she began her work with the right attitude. It's kind of like holiday meal preparation. I don't know if you've ever experienced extended family holidays. We all just finished up with Christmas. It starts off with the desire to have a nice meal with your family, but it ends up becoming this huge burden. It becomes stressful if things aren't going right and you're running out of time. And, you know, I've been literally yelled at when I've been in the kitchen, if you're not going to help, get out of the kitchen! And my mom is like getting all freaked out. And I love her to death, but she gets worked up. And her motivation was right. She's probably going to kill me for sharing this. But I'm sure we've all been guilty of that. Starting something with good intentions and just allowing the pressure to build up and that we become stressed out. And that's kind of what Martha was like that. The harder she worked, the more worked up she became. Some people burn out in service, but Martha was getting burned up in hers. It's bad enough to have everything to do. It's even worse when we can think of someone we feel is not pulling their weight. We all been there? And this is what's happening with Martha. Charles Hummel, in a book called Freedom from the Tyranny of the Urgent, said that tension and frustration mount when we are performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities into a given period. A critical spirit develops, and we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or don't do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember that it's completely out of line as far as God's concerned. So if you're feeling busy and you're feeling stressed out, you're looking at other people and you're starting to get a critical spirit, do a heart check. Is your motivation right? Are you doing this out of devotion, or are you doing it out of duty? In the second part of verse 40, Martha finally explodes and she comes boiling out of the kitchen. I mean, I think we don't necessarily get the emotional response in Scripture, because sometimes, I read it the first time, She said, Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. I think she was probably a little more forceful than that. More like, Lord, you don't care that my sister has left me to do this work by myself. Tell her to help me. She didn't call her sister by name. Tell her to help me. And in her defense, she probably has done everything she could think of to get Mary's attention. Signaling her that she needed help. We all have those ways of getting the message across, like, waving, come here. We have certain looks, husbands. Wife has a certain look. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. And we get even more irritated as the person's ignoring us. And Martha was willing to face, or excuse me, Mary was willing to face Martha's anger because sitting at Jesus' feet meant everything to her at this point. That was the important thing to her. And something for us to notice is that there's a tone of accusation in Martha's question to the Lord. Not only is she mad at Mary, but she's getting mad at Jesus for letting it go on. You have to admit, this is kind of one gutsy lady. She accuses Jesus of not caring for her by telling Mary to get up and help her. In saying this, not only does she rebuke her sister, but she also rebuked the one from whom all these preparations are being made. Talk about, she's losing her focus. She lost her focus. She forgot why she was even doing this. Looking at our lives, when Jesus expects us to follow him, he means not a frenzy of religious activity undertaken in our own strength, But sometimes that's what our life becomes. But instead, he's wanting the total abandonment of ourselves to him to work in us for his good pleasure. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. A little FaceTime. I'm a guest pastor, and I can do that because I'm not going to be around. Do we clutter our lives full of good things that could be taking us away from what's best? Are you filling your lives full of church activities? And having been a youth pastor, church activities are good, okay? But sometimes if you're involved in a committee meeting or a Bible study or whatever meeting every night of the week, or where you're it's taking so much time that you're not building relationships with people, particularly non-Christian people in your neighborhood, need to do a heart check. Maybe it's not church activities. Maybe it's work. Maybe you're consumed with so many hours at work that you don't have time for anything else, or school. Extracurricular activities. I've seen parents who've had their kids in so many activities that they don't have time for anything else. Maybe we overextend ourselves volunteering. God wants us to serve, but that doesn't mean we have to do everything. There's four myths concerning our busy, busy, busy lives that I'd like to share. The first one is that busy, myth number one is that busy equals importance. Not true. Sometimes busyness is what we do to make ourselves look important, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to be. Also, myth number two is somebody wins the rat race. Nobody wins the rat race. Myth number three, hurrying will buy us more time. I learned that in the Army real quick, that hurrying does not buy you more time. Hurry up and wait. That was the mantra of the Army when I was in. Myth number four, downtime is wasted. Downtime's never wasted. You get to renew, you can refresh, you can spend time with the Lord, spend time with your family. It's just doing nothing. It's not wasted. Martha was distracted. Mary was devoted. You know, why are we doing what we're doing? Take a look at verses 41 through 42. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus responds with great tenderness. I want us to notice first that Jesus did not rebuke her for making preparations for him and the other guests. He is not rejecting Martha's attempt to serve him. Martha's problem was not that she was preparing food for her guests to eat, because that was necessary. They needed food. They were hungry. But she gave too much importance to it. Today, we still have to be careful that we do not let the necessary thing that must be done get out of balance and distort our lives. Also note that Jesus did not tell Martha to do what Mary was doing. She didn't say stop that and go sit with Mary. Because Martha's attitude needed correction, but Martha's work was good and necessary. The reality is that as believers today, we need to cultivate both Martha and Mary in each of us. What does that look like? Well, Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship in everything that we do. Worship the Lord. My next page is upside down. That's not helpful. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men." You see a theme here? Everything that we do is worship. Everything that we do is serving Christ. Whether it's being devoted, just sitting and listening, or singing worship songs, or serving your neighbor shoveling snow, or going to a nursing home, or being excellent at what you do at work. It's all serving Christ. It's maintaining a balance. In our busyness, though, sometimes we need to slow down. We need not neglect sitting at the Lord's feet In Isaiah 65, 12, the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, "For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen." Can that be said of us? Do we not spend enough time sitting at the Lord's feet in the meditation of His Word, the study of His Word, and prayer that we don't quiet ourselves before Him and we miss out what He's trying to say to us? Mary chose what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What does he talk about? What is better? There's really no explanation for what is better. The best interpretation is this is referring to the kingdom of God. And like I mentioned before, Jesus rebuked Martha's attitude, but not her activity. We need to make sure our first priority is pursuing the kingdom and honoring Christ and living out the great commandment. The Apostle Paul put it this way. If you turn with me to Philippians 3, verses 7 through 14. The Apostle Paul had a lot going for him. He had the right lineage. He was zealous. He was a Pharisee. Fully committed to his cause. Worldly speaking, as far as the world was concerned, as far as the Jewish world was concerned, he was like a star. I mean, he was getting more well known. But here he says in verse 7, after several years after having a life-altering encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he says, "But whatever I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." We don't fully appreciate the intensity of that word in the English, but rubbish literally means refuse, dung. Okay? Everything else compared to knowing Christ was meaningless. It was garbage. It was poop. It was that. You said poop in church? Is that loud? Oops. Anyway. "In order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He was focused. Sitting without serving is powerless. In James, it says that faith without works is dead. Live out the one another's in Scripture. There are 36 one another commands listed in Scripture. Is our lives filled with programs and activities that lend itself to that? Serving without sitting is directionless. As some gentlemen realized in 1975, 75 convicts started digging a secret tunnel designed to bring them up at the other side of the wall of the Santillo prison in northern Mexico. On April 25th, 1976, guided by pure genius, they tunneled up into the nearby courtroom in which many of them had been sentenced. The surprised judges returned all 75 to jail. When we sit or we serve without sitting, sometimes we're like a chicken running around with his head cut off. We're making taking up a lot of ground, but we're directionless. We're going all over the place. We're not focused. Jesus, whenever he made decisions or had significant ministry activity coming up, he always spent time sitting at his Father's feet in prayer. If you ever also, a church that does not seek its Lord effectively, thinking back to the chicken, effectively shuts itself off from the direction of its head, Jesus Christ. You know, we can do many things and do them well, but the end result is a pointless waste of time. All the effort is futile. We must have both serving and sitting. There needs to be a balance. Serving combined with sitting produces passionate disciples. When we strike this balance between the two priorities, we find that we can be effective stewards of our time. The Gospel of John fills the rest of the story in for us. We see in verse 25, of John 11, verse 25, Jesus is talking to Martha. Lazarus had just died. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." One of the two greatest confessions concerning the person of Jesus Christ is recorded here in verse 27 of John 11. The other was by Peter in Matthew 16, 16. I don't think Martha would have come to that conclusion had she not spent time at Jesus' feet, had she not learned the reason for her duty or for her the work that she does, if she did not become a passionate disciple. What about you? Will you take a moment to reflect? Where's your focus this morning? Have you been sitting without serving? Or serving without sitting? Have you been giving yourself to non-essentials, things that are here today but tossed out tomorrow? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this message that we see in the lives of Martha and Mary. I thank you, Father, that you show in your word a balance between serving and sitting. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do both. Lord, if we're crowding our lives with things that are not important, that are not essential, and letting them crowd out the things that are, seeking you and your kingdom, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to reprioritize our life, that you'd help us to give up things that maybe we need to set aside and not focus on so much in order that we could focus on what's best. Lord, maybe sometimes we're just sitting and we're not serving. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find a ministry that you've called us to passionately serve you out of devotion, to glorify you, to love you with our work. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Shane.